You are now listening to the voice of Tom Pendergrass, who claims the distinction of being the first newsboy on the streets of Clovis. When the village of Clovis first started, which actually was in May of 1907, when the Santa Fe Land and Improvement Company finished the survey of the town site, which lay north of the Santa Fe tracks, and they started selling lots, it was then that Clovis started to spring up. Previously, the Santa Fe Land Improvement Company had bought ground and sold lots in Melrose, which was then known as Brownhorn. But the water proved not good for engines and Melrose, and they were only able to buy 80 acres of land, which was not enough for the division facilities and lots for a town. So after it was decided to buy the first level section west of Texaco, which is bounded on the south by Brady Avenue, on the north by 7th Street, on the east by Prince Street, and on the west by Thornton. This was destined to be the city of Clovis, the original town site, but it all lay in Roosevelt County, with the county seat at Portales, 19 miles away, and no road to speak of through the sand hills on the south. It was sometimes a 2 days trip going down and coming back and tending to any legal business in Portales. Clovis was growing fast, with the Santa Fe bringing in men, building roundhouse, storehouse, back shop, yard, depot, freight depot, Harvey House, and business houses springing up on Main Street. It was looked like for a while it was going to be a tent city. They couldn't build buildings fast enough. Tents sprung up for temporary homes, and it was quite a mess for about a year and a half, 2 years, until Clovis decided they needed a county with Clovis as the county seat. At the time, it was decided to move from Brownhorn to the new town of Clovis. They had already started building facilities in Melrose, even had the roundhouse built up to the windowsills, about 10 or 12 stalls, and the depot was started, and a number of lots were sold. But after the town site was laid out in Clovis, the Santa Fe Land Improvement Company exchanged at equal price all the lots they had sold in Melrose for the same lot in Clovis. Clovis had a lot to contend with in those days. They were called a lot of different names: Texaco, Portales, Black Tower, which is now the air base, and Melrose, all contended for the division point on the Santa Fe. All the work was being done when the railroad started out of Texaco, connecting with the Pecos Valley line, which run then from Texaco directly to Portales. They thought they should have the division point. Melrose had it, and it got away. And when they moved from Melrose, they considered Black Tower. But a lot of the landowners, Black Tower, got wind of it ahead, and they put their land up so high that nobody would buy it. So the Santa Fe Land Improvement Company just moved out of there. There had already been a survey from a point about where Tyban is, across through Portales and to the Texas line with the idea of building, which was later built, the line from Texaco to Coleman, which was called the Coleman Cutoff. That survey had already been made. And Clovis was known once as the Orphan City. We set out here in the middle of the Ballies, nothing but jackrabbits and antelope, not a friend in the world. Texaco fought us, Portales fought us, Melrose wasn't very friendly, and here we was in a territory, not even a state, and in Roosevelt County, we was almost friendless. Clovis got a lot of nicknames, some of them that won't even clear the air, but the main one that I remember that stuck pretty well and still the old-timers remember is the Magic City of the Plains. There was a number of business houses who called themselves the Magic City, Magic City Furniture Company, Magic City Cleaners, and a few others took the name of the Magic City, which is almost played out now, and we call the cattle capital and a lot of other things, but the Magic City still remains. Back in those days, we didn't hear much of Democrats and Republicans and other parties, but the two factions controlling early day Clovis was the two banks, the First National Bank and the Clovis National Bank. Anybody started any project or anything, why some depositor in the or official of Clovis National Bank would run down, tell the president of the bank about it. He'd say, "Is he one of our depositors?" They'd go look it up, and if he wasn't one of their depositors, why, they wasn't for it. The same with the First National Bank. Depended on who done what as to whether one or the other faction was for it or not. It was late in the year 1908 when Clovis decided they'd go for a county. And of course the two bank factions had to get together on that. And they somehow raised $400. To send a man to Santa Fe to try to get the county seat. They met, picked out a man that was the most likely to register in Santa Fe, Uncle Charlie C.A. Sherrick. And I might add right here that Charlie Sherrick knew more about the beginning of Clovis and the history of this part of the state as well as the rest of the state better than any man that ever lived in Clovis. And when Charlie died, the true story of the building of Clovis died with him, other than the few friends that he left the word with. Charlie Sherrick was picked as the man to go to Santa Fe to try to get our county. He was a very close friend of the then Governor Curry, governor of the territory of New Mexico, and also Colonel Helm. Colonel Helm was a very close friend of the governor, and it was to him that they were going to make the big appeal. Charlie Sherrick was a First National Bank man, and when the Clovis National Bank wasn't represented, well, they put up a howl and they had to have a man to go along, I guess, to watch Charlie. So they picked a lawyer, R.E. Rowell, who was a Clovis National Bank depositor, and he went along. It was said at the time just for the ride. Rowell didn't have anything in particular that he could put up. And $400 wouldn't go very far when it come to buying liquor and entertaining the legislators in Santa Fe and so forth, whatever it takes to get a bill through legislature. But the three, Charlie Sherrick, Colonel Helm, and R.E. Rowell, made the trip to Santa Fe to get our county. Sherrick didn't find it too hard in Santa Fe. He knew a lot of the legislators, and particularly the senator from Roosevelt and Quay County, the two counties which were destined to give up the land for the new county of Curry, and the governor, who was on Charlie's side. Colonel Helm couldn't be a whole lot of help. He was crippled up badly with rheumatism and had to do all of his lobbying in the hotel lobby. Couldn't get around very well, even with his cane. And Rowell was, you might say a dead weight. He wasn't any too well acquainted, but he was along. Sherrick didn't find too much contention, even with the legislators from Roosevelt and Curry County. The plat had already been marked out, and Charlie took up there. It was almost a square, bordering on our present county line on the south, to a point where the county line is on the north, and across to, taking in Toller, just the other side of Toller on the west. And the reason for the little stretch of Roosevelt County on the west, Senator Lindsey from Portales asked concession. He didn't want to give up all the Santa Fe Railroad, so he asked that they have that about 18-mile stretch on the west and take in part of the Santa Fe Railroad. After all, they was giving up quite a bit on the railroad. Of course, that was conceded. And then on the north, Senator Meacham from Quay County, he wanted this little community. And by the way, he was a Republican. And then over here, he wanted another little community. And over somewhere else, he wanted another little community. And that's the reason for the stair-step county line on the north. Sherrick wasn't having much trouble, and he didn't want to get any trouble, so he conceded those little communities that they asked for. I think it was three that Meacham didn't want to give up. And then he says, from there on, we don't care anything about those Texas Democrats. You can have the rest of them. And that's the cause of our surveyed stair steps on the north. Got rid of a lot of Republicans that way and made it easy on Charlie. So there wasn't any big howl, and the bill went over in good shape, making Curry County out of Quay and Roosevelt County. It was rather ironic, and we'll mention it right here, that these two senators from Quay and Roosevelt County were later to become governors of New Mexico, Governor Lindsey of Roosevelt County and Governor Meacham of Tucumcari. Now, the bill went over in good shape in the legislature, granting the county as of the survey. And it was already known when Charlie Sherrick first got up there and told the governor about his mission and to get a new county, that it would be named after him, Curry County. Of course, that cinched the governor on Charlie's side, and that's where we got our name, from Governor Curry. But now the bill going through legislature in good shape wasn't the whole story. And this is something that I don't think Charlie Sherrick told but very few people, and I was one of them. He told about, of course, in those days politics was just as you make it in New Mexico, and bills of this nature wasn't anything out of the ordinary for them to get lost after they had passed the legislature and before the governor got a hold of them. Why, there's a lot of bills lost somewhere. And at the time the bill went through, of course, it is already known that the governor was going to sign it. But after it was passed, Governor Curry happened to be in Washington and wasn't there to get a hold of the bill. So Charlie Sherrick, knowing a lot of people in Santa Fe as he did, managed to get a hold of that bill after it had gone through the due process, and he filched it, in other words. Nothing crooked about that. He just put it in his pocket and brought it home with him. And later on, when Governor Curry got back to Santa Fe, Charlie had occasion to go up there for some reason, and he took the bill along with him and turned it over to Governor Curry, and Governor Curry signed it. Thus, we had Curry County. Now that the bill was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor, and the surveyors were busy laying out the county line, it was generally conceded through the whole thing that Clovis would be the county seat. But the enterprising citizens of Curry County and Clovis met with another obstacle. They hadn't thought about these other communities, Texaco and Melrose, just a little mention of Grady deciding they might want to be the county seat, and they had never gone to anybody outside of Clovis for any donations to this fund to send somebody to Santa Fe. They put it up themselves, but Texaco decided they was the most plausible town, being the oldest, for the county seat. Melrose was better located for it, and they wanted it. And some enterprising citizens thought that the county seat should be located in the center of the county. Went out here and got a whole piece of ground somewhere in the vicinity of Claude, Broadview or somewhere out there, right in the center of the county, and put up a fight for the county seat and was going to call it Center. Now, that's not to be confused with the little community of Center south of here, but they put up a wrestle for the county seat. So they had to call an election to decide on the county seat. And the four communities, Clovis, Texaco, Melrose, and Center, was the object of the election. Well, Texaco had a pretty good citizenry, and Melrose done pretty well. Clovis had their number all right, but they didn't know how these mesters, as we called them then, was going to vote outside of these communities. And this bunch from, they called themselves Center, was putting up a big big wrestle for the county seat. So the election was called and advertised in proper form, and the polling place was to be at in Clovis at Stewart and Ramey's real estate office. Now that's our Cash Ramey that we all know, and J.W. Stewart was his real estate partner in those days. Their real estate office, of course, this was in the days before Joe Wilkerson. Their real estate office was about the middle of the 300 block on the west side of Main Street. And that was to be the polling place in Clovis. Of course, Texaco and Melrose had their polling places too. But the big election took place. No registration, just everybody voted. All the male beings, that is, was voting. And it so happened that a fellow named George Singleton was roadmaster or something for the Santa Fe Railroad. And on the day of the election, he was moving an extra gang from outside somewhere, moving them somewhere else on the railroad. Big bunch of Mexicans, a big extra gang working on the railroad. So George Singleton brought them in here on the move and held them up long enough to vote the whole shebang. All the extra gang voted for, of course they was told before they went up there, they was voting for Clovis, county seat. Well, and the votes were counted, why Clovis was the big winner and got the county seat for Curry County. One thing more I'd like to add and make perfectly clear. Some of you might ask, where did that guy get all this information and dope? And I'd like to just answer that question before it's asked. Back in 1946, I got the idea of writing the history of Clovis, building of Clovis in Curry County. And I went to no end gathering information. I went over to Amarillo, put in about a week going through their records over there, getting everything on the building of the Pecos Valley line and also the Belen cutoff across here. And of course I was here 3 months after the town started and remembered quite a bit, and talked to the old timers quite a bit and got information that I didn't already know. And among others was Charlie Sherry. And I've regretted many times that I didn't get that job done. Charlie Sherrick was so anxious to have it done, and just many times I've gone down to his office and he'd take me in the back room and close the door and tell me things, for instance, like this Curry County story and many other things that I made notes on and still have it somewhere. But before I got the job done, 1947, I got under a footboard down Clovis Yard, got all crippled up, and finally ended up by having to have a spinal fusion, 1948. I still have the records, but I never did get the job done. But to a lot of different things that Charlie Sherrick knew and just told somebody like me that I would like to get either on tape or in writing at some future time.